All right, this is Steeler Country. I'm your host, Tony, alongside my two co-hosts, Mike and Joe. Guys, how's it going tonight? Because I know as a Steeler fan, it hurts knowing that not only are the Baltimore Ravens in the Super Bowl, but it's the most dreaded of all Super Bowls, the Harbaugh, this year. Mike, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling good tonight, but not good about that. It is what we were dreading, man, the horrible. The Harbaugh Bowl, or the Harbaugh, as I like to call it. Can't root for the Ravens in any way, shape, or form. And got to root for the Niners to get their sixth Super Bowl and tie the Steelers. So that's just going to give us incentive to what? Get our, whatever you want to call it, Stairway to Seven Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the best thing that can happen from this Super Bowl is that the Steelers, you know, lose their mark as the most storied franchise, the winningest franchise in Super Bowl history. Joe, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. You know, I'm living with it. I'm trying to find a way to get some peace with this whole thing. It's not easy to do. I can't deal with either team winning the Super Bowl. I just can't. I really don't care. I don't know which one will piss me off more.
Really?
I guess I would prefer the 49ers to win because I think they're a better team. I have to say I am amused. I find the Ravens amusing. Their whole little lucky series of success, and people cannot understand when I try to explain to them that the Ravens are just on this lucky trip. It's like, oh, you just hate him because you're a Steeler fan, man. So, you know,
I somewhat agree with you on that, but part of me, you know, I mean, look, they're a game away from winning the Super Bowl now. You know, nobody lucks into a Super Bowl, or no one has to this point lucked into a Super Bowl. And the weird thing for me is that if the Ravens do win the Super Bowl, I mean, you can't take anything away from this team. You know, they lost 5 of 6 down the stretch, but it's not as though they lucked their way this far, you know. And if they win the Super Bowl, what bad can you say about this team?
I'll still make fun of them. I mean, look, the 49ers are a better team. They should win. If they don't win, it will be most likely because of some inexplicable lucky BS that happens for the Ravens, and their season is full of it, you know. And they have ridden luck a very long way. Not so much in the AFC Championship game. The Patriots really did not show up for that game. They did not play well, and the Ravens obviously wanted it more and played better. But there were many, many points of elimination where luck was on the Ravens' side. It's just no way around it. And when I talk about it to my football friends who are, you know, looking at me like this, you know, okay, we are watching a Raven hater here. We are watching possibly the most rabid, outrageous Raven hater or opposing team hater that we've ever witnessed talk. They're laughing and stuff. But when every time I hit a point, they know it's true. They just laugh even more. They find it hilarious. I always end up the same way. And I know I've said this before to all of my Steeler brethren, who are down in the dumps about, oh my God, what if the Ravens really win the Super Bowl? How are we going to, you know, wake up the next day? It'll be like the sun turned black or something. And I just go, we can't lose in this. Either the Ravens are going to lose the Super Bowl. Okay. Or the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl and they are going to lock Joe Flacco in. Till the guy is in a wheelchair someday, and he is. I don't care, Tony. I know you think if he wins the Super Bowl, that automatically makes him a good quarterback. He is a freaking bona fide bonehead, and we will be able to beat his ass and the Ravens' ass because they lock in with him for the rest of the decade. Man, it ain't gonna stop. He's not a good quarterback. I don't care how the next game goes.
Well, I think Mike, I want to get your take on that. I mean, what do you think?
I tend to agree with Joe for more than think he's, you know, he's an elite quarterback, or he's the best quarterback in the league, as he said today. Someone asked him, "Are you, did you're a top five quarterback?" He said, "No, I think I'm the best quarterback," I think is what he said. I do think that they're going to lock him in, win or lose in this game, unless he totally chokes and blows the game in some way, which could happen. But I think they're going to lock him in for a long time. I think it is going to be good for the Steelers. I don't think that he's going to, I think we're going to see, I mean, I think he has improved over the years, and now he's learned that he can throw a deep ball and kind of just throw 50-50 balls and get away with it because he's got good receivers. But I think that's going to catch up to him. I think it might catch up to him in this game. I think some of those 50-50 balls against these cornerbacks and this defense, they're going to go against him, and he may end up throwing three interceptions in this game. Or at least that's what
that's,
I hope.
Yeah, so. that's what I hope. I mean, here's my thing about Joe Flacco, right? I mean, yeah, I think as Steeler fans, we've seen the best of Joe Flacco, and we've seen the worst of Joe Flacco, and more often than not, we see the worst of Joe Flacco. But what has been happening in the last 2 years is my fear is that we're starting to see the maturity in Joe Flacco. You know, did you guys know that Joe Flacco has the most road victories of any quarterback, road victories in the playoffs of any quarterback ever? And he's only what, in his fifth year? And he's already the most winning road quarterback in playoff history.
That is impressive, but I don't want to take it away from him, but I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just happenstance that that's a team that was not great but good and made the playoffs every year and went on the road every year. Had a good defense, which helped him in those early games in his career. And you have guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning who didn't play that many road games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, that's
even
true.
Joe Montana.
You know, Peyton Manning doesn't get a chance to play road games in the playoffs because he's, you know, they have home field, right? Yeah. Okay, but here are more points. I mean, I'm going to sound like a Flacco apologist, but the thing about Flacco is that he has been playing well. It's just, you know, you look at the two. Let's just look at the last two playoff games, right? He had to go on the road to Denver, right? The team on the hottest streak in the AFC that won 11 straight. Okay, he goes there. He throws three touchdowns, no interceptions. Peyton Manning throws three touchdowns, two interceptions. He outplays Peyton Manning in that game. Then he goes on the road again next week to New England, right? The franchise that's been the dominant for the last 10, 15 years, right? He again throws three touchdowns, no interceptions. Tom Brady throws one touchdown, two interceptions. He outplays Tom Brady in Tom Brady's house to make it to the Super Bowl. Here's my point is, yes, we've seen Joe Flacco play very poorly. And I think we can all make a I think the analogy that makes the most sense to us is that Joe Flacco is Neil O'Donnell. I mean, that's who he is at his core, or at least that's what we want to believe. The problem is Neil O'Donnell never won a Super Bowl. Neil O'Donnell never played like this in the playoffs. Neil O'Donnell was a guy who, yeah, he would win you games, but when you needed to count on him the most, that's when he would come up small. Joe Flacco has been that guy to a point, but that point may be over, and now we may be watching Joe Flacco come into his own. That's my fear anyway.
I'm not afraid of that at all. I'm not going to repeat myself, but we have evidence before us. This guy is not a good decision maker. He makes bad decisions. Okay. I know you're telling me he didn't throw interceptions and, you know, I could say this. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady did not look like themselves in those two playoff games. Maybe that's the Ravens defense taking them out of their game. I don't know. Certainly in the Denver game, the horrible officiating in the Denver game absolutely played to the Ravens' favor and spooked that secondary, so they didn't know how to play football anymore. And, you know, the fact that this guy is able to throw up 50-50 balls and they're coming down with them. Yeah, it's a testament to their receivers, and maybe they can do that because they're a talented couple of receivers they've got. But he ain't riding this thing. This is not something I'm looking at going, oh, that's the maturity of Joe Flacco, a guy who takes off running with the playoffs on the line, 40 seconds on the clock, no timeouts, 70 yards to tie the game. Okay, and on second down, he takes off running in the middle of the field and doesn't even try for the sideline. That's not the maturity of Joe Flacco. that he throws up a 50-50 ball after that and his guy runs under it is not the maturity of Joe Flacco. That is Joe Forrest Gump Flack in the flesh.
I want to believe that that's true. That happened. That he's still the ball. I think the point is he's not making those mistakes as frequently, right? Yes, he will make.
They're not costing mistakes anymore. Yeah.
He had a fumbled snap in that same game. These games that you're talking about that are supposedly elevating him to immortality, okay, are just – he's got all kinds of stupid crap that he does. I can't remember all of them, but he had a fumbled snap in that game too. It was like, just duh, forgot to take the snap.
But look, by winning those games, it could be a confidence builder, and maybe he is – taking a step up, but I don't want to believe it. And hopefully everything you're saying, Joe, is going to catch up to him in the biggest game of all, in the Super Bowl. And we're going to, we'll see some of the old Flacco, or maybe we'll see those items or those plays catch up to him. And to your point, Tony, on that, not only did he beat Brady or, Manning and Brady, but he beat Luck in the first game and he went 8 touchdowns with no interceptions in the 3 games.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say he's yet to throw an interception in this playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and he hasn't thrown one in like 160 passes or something like that. So it's going to catch up to him, man. It's going to be this game. I think it's going to be a blowout.
I hope you're right. But the other thing,
that's something to root for. You said you don't want to watch, you don't have an interest in watching the game and stuff, or it's hard to watch. That's something to root for.
It's hard to blow out. Yeah, it's not going to be hard to cheer against Baltimore. Clearly, I'm going to go for San Francisco in this game. I cannot watch these Ravens win the Super Bowl. My fear is that we're watching like Joe Flacco all of a sudden turn into this. Right before our eyes, all of a sudden he's gone from being the bonehead who we're laughing at, because he's choking as the Steelers come back from an improbable. We were down by like 17 in that playoff game 2 years ago.
I'll tell you what, if he has a good game, the media will put him up there. I mean, you'll start hearing it going into next season. You got, Rodgers, Manning, Brady, and now you got to throw Flacco in there.
Yeah.
You'll have Brady, Ben Roethlisberger and Breeze up there, but they'll start throwing Flacco up there if he wins this game, especially if he has a good game and he's the MVP. But that'll wear off.
And they have – here's the other thing. Baltimore is not – this is no longer a team that lives on that defense. We all know that defense has taken a huge step backwards this year. They've improved a little bit thanks to some deer antler spray in these playoffs.
I think the only thing that can –
But this is not – this is not the 2000 Ravens. This is not Trent Dilfer. He's not – Flacco's not out there managing games.
Look, the only way the Niners are going to get hurt is if Kaepernick gets hurt early in the game. Then again, they'll bring in Alex Smith.
Yeah, Alex Smith revenge factor, I kind of want – Like there's a part of me that says I want to see Alex Smith get his – I just want to see him get his, right? I mean he worked all this time. He's not a great quarterback. He's not as good as Kaepernick. But damn, did he get – he got the worst of this because he's now going to have to watch this other guy take over for a team that he was already doing really well with, right? It wasn't like they were a losing team with Alex Smith. They went to the championship game last year.
Someone said he was the highest rated quarterback when he went out.
Yeah.
But hey, the same thing happened to Bledsoe. Now, granted, Bledsoe wasn't playing as good.
Right.
And it happened much earlier in the season, but he didn't get his job back when he came back.
No, I guess Alex Smith has to get a starting role next year, right? I mean, he's going to go somewhere and start.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I was hearing, people talk about, there's not a consensus number one quarterback in the draft. And so maybe the Chiefs, who are looking to upgrade a quarterback, they take Alex Smith and then they can go somewhere else with that first pick in the draft.
Could be the Chiefs, Buffalo.
But if you're,
Philadelphia?
If you're these teams, right? I mean, Philadelphia is one that I can see making a little bit of, Chip Kelly doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Alex Smith. But like, okay, let's go over Buffalo and Kansas City. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick and you have Matt Castle. Is Alex Smith really a huge upgrade from those guys?
I mean, but he's definitely better.
I don't know.
I think it's better. Well, I don't know. Maybe Fitzpatrick. I mean, he may have looked good because he was on a real good team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're getting at. You have to figure in the surrounding players.
Someone said that he could play with Philadelphia because he can move. You know, he can run.
He can run a little bit. Yeah.
You know, he can move basically. Maybe not be a runner.
Yeah.
But he can move out of the pocket.
It'll be interesting to see where he lands up and what happens with Sanchez. I think those are the two quarterbacks that. And Vic too, I guess. Vic's an interesting case where, I mean, he seemingly would fit really well with Chip Kelly's scheme, but given the history and all that, I don't know that Chip Kelly wants to continue on with that whole Vic thing in Philly. But anyway, we digress. Let's get back to the Super Bowl. Joe, I want to get your take on the Ray Lewis deer antler spray. We haven't talked a lot on this podcast about the use of performance-enhancing drugs in football, our feelings on PEDs and that kind of thing. This week, it came out that Ray Lewis may have used deer antler spray, which contains a substance that is banned by the NFL. Ray Lewis, of course, hurt his triceps mid-season. Everyone thought he would be out for the year. That kind of injury normally keeps a player out for an entire season. He was able to recover quite quickly, came back in time for the first playoff game, and has played every game there since. So, Joe, I don't know, how do you feel about, you know, the whole performance? I mean, this has been a huge topic as of late with the Lance Armstrong thing and now this deer antler spray not only being used by Ray Lewis but maybe by other players in the NFL and in college. What do you think? Are you bothered by the idea that that there is – you know, widespread PED use in football?
As far as Ray Lewis using it, I mean, if it's a banned substance and the NFL knows that he used it, you know, not is sure that he used it, but can prove that he used it, then I don't know why he's playing football.
Yeah, they can't prove it. It's one of those things where, like, you can't prove it in court. But you can look at the facts and go, like, well, he probably – why was he asking a doctor about how to spray it? But you can't – they can't test him for it. They can't – you know, they can't find a bottle in his possession, right? So all they have is him asking how to use the antler spray.
So he did. So he cheated. You know, I mean, it really doesn't soil his reputation with his fans because, you know, this is a guy who, you know, after the big party and you go home in the limo, you just – you know, you don't just get your suit cleaned. You destroy it, throw it away, and can never find it again because it's all bloodstained or whatever the problem was.
Oh, we're going there. Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, are you really going to soil this guy's reputation with his followers, with the people that believe in him? And no, I don't think you are. But to the larger question about, you know, these substances and should they be allowed? I mean, look. I just think that they're bad for you. It's proven. Everyone knows it. I don't understand why the NFL has to ban it. I mean, if you want to do something to your body and you know what's going to happen to you down the road, why does the NFL have to stop you? Why are they obligated to protect you from yourself? You know, you want to wreck yourself, wreck your body, wreck the, you know, shorten your life.
Well, there is two reasons for that.
So as an adult, it's your choice to do that to yourself.
But I mean, one is because you don't want kids copying that. Kids in high school saying, "Oh, for me to get in the NFL, I got to do that." If it turns out being bad for your body and it's going to shorten your lifespan by, you know, 50% or 30%.
They do drugs in high school, man. They're doing drugs in high school.
Yeah, but no one's promoting it. No one's saying that it's good to do.
Nobody's promoting it.
Well, you'd have heroes in the NFL that are MVPs and superstars that are because they're on these steroids and stuff. But the second thing is, do you really want your league to become, you know, the best teams and the best players are who takes the most steroids?
Right. I mean, there is an
integrity. I mean,
there's an integrity. The part of the PED use that bothers me. I mean, Joe, I agree with you as far as the use of PEDs from a it harms you type of deal. You know, I mean, as an adult,
you want to
screw yourself up, you can. I agree. I mean, the role model thing.
Don't wear a helmet.
The role model thing clouds that issue a little bit, but the integrity part of it is what bothers me. Like you said, Mike, you know, is it whoever takes the most steroids? You know, part of sport and part of why I enjoy sport is that, you know, I want to believe, and I, you know, probably, I, obviously I'm naive in thinking this, but I want to believe that what I am watching is guys who are, number one, incredibly gifted just naturally. And then they pair that natural gift with extremely hard work, dedication to their craft, honing that craft over years and years and years. And now we get to watch that person, in this grand stage, right? And there is something that gets taken away from that if you start to say, well, yeah, I mean, he worked hard, but he had the use of some kind of drug or something that helped him along that path. That part of it bothers me. And I think that's why stuff like this Ray Lewis thing, you know, where he's like, oh, he came back from this tricep injury. Well, naturally, your body can't come back from that tricep. No matter how hard you try, your body can't come back from that tricep injury that much. You know, it's like this Adrian Peterson thing. Everyone looks at this Adrian Peterson story and says, this is incredible. He's a freak athlete. I can't believe it. But if it comes out that he used steroids to come back from this, right? He used some kind of performance enhancing drug to come back from that. That story is diminished, right? I mean, no one's going to look at Adrian Peterson and go, wow, what a freak athlete. No, he just used steroids to come back. And that's how he was able to come back from this so fast and have the great year he had.
Well,
so
my earlier point, is Ray Lewis's image diminished by this? I think it's not.
Because of that.
He doesn't have much of an image. His image is already a pretty low image.
People are either with him or without him, and that's not going to change based on this. But now the same story on Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or someone who's been clean the whole, you know, his whole career. Yeah, that would tarnish an image like that. Or like Adrian Peterson, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I think the Ray Lewis is definitely an interesting and polarizing figure because of his past, and I agree with that. I mean, I think the deer antler spray story kind of shows where you are on with Ray Lewis, right? If you're a lot of people are just kind of blowing it off as number one, you can't prove it, and number two is everybody does it, right? The everybody does it defense.
I mean, the odd thing is, though, if it's really good and it helps you heal and it's a good for you thing, then why is it banned? I mean, what's the bad side of it that they're banning it? It's almost like I really wish the NFL, I mean, if they're going to ban things, they really should give all players and teams the same kit of stuff that they're allowed to use. And that's it. And that's all they can use. Don't go buy anything over the counter. And you just use what the NFL provides if they want to play that game.
Yeah, and then of course there's the whole testing part of this, right? Which is, okay, so this IGF-1 that's in the deer antler spray that supposedly is the banned substance, right? There's no test for that. They cannot test. So we're all on the honor system, right? That we're, hey, don't use this, but we can't test you for it, so you could use it and never get caught. Like, just don't let us find you with a bottle of it.
I mean, it's the same with HGH too, right?
Right, and I think, they're working on getting HGH testing in, yeah, I mean, clearly there is widespread PED use because, and it goes back to that, everybody's doing a thing, right? I mean, if you're a football player and,
if you're not doing it, you may not make the team.
If you're not using deer antler spray to come back from injury, it's banned, but they can't test you for it. You'll never get caught for it. So unless, you leave a voicemail on your doctor's thing, asking how to use it.
But if you're the 53rd player on the team
right, absolutely.
And you don't do that, someone else is going to take your job. So, I mean, these guys may get pressured into it. Yeah. And I understand what Joe, you were saying earlier that, just let them do it. I mean, if you want to do it, it's your own thing. And I kind of felt that way during the home run derby thing with McGuire and Sosa. It was like, sure, let everyone take steroids. I mean, it's makes the game funner. We see more home runs. But
yeah, but doesn't it become a video game at that point?
Yeah, but I mean, for baseball, though, it's like, who cares? It just makes it more fun.
I mean, my thing is you can't stop it.
You, well,
so yeah, you're playing this game I'm not going to go so far as to call it hypocrisy, but you are not acknowledging the truth, which is it is you can say all you want that we're doing everything we can to keep it clean and blah blah, but like, you can't. It's happening. So why are you penalizing some when you know that everyone is doing it? Let's just be above board and say everybody's doing this. And
but I don't know if that's true. I don't know if everyone's doing it.
Well, something like this, where they can't test it, right? You have to assume that this is widespread, right?
I guess that would be true. I mean, I could see that, you know, someone says, you know, take this, but I can't take that. Oh, yeah, you can. This isn't tested, so don't worry about it. Okay. I mean, yeah. I could see that conversation happening in, you know, all the locker rooms.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I don't know, but to say that they're – I mean, they are trying, aren't they? I mean, they do some testing, and like you said, they're going to come up with HGH.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, testing. You know, in order to test the real stuff – you have to test the blood, right? You have to do blood tests, and that's
– Oh, and they won't go for that.
That's an involved thing, yeah. I mean, that's
– The Players Association won't allow that.
It's – yeah, why I mean, not? It's a constant battle.
Why not?
It's too invasive.
It's invasive.
Invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
But it's for your safety. See, if you did it, if it was really about safety, why would the Players Union be against it? Right?
Right.
If we did that – Now, 100%, we could ensure that no one in the league could be doing these steroids that we know harm you if you use them. Okay, so now we have a 100% test where we can go, hey, this is a terrible thing. Now no one has to feel pressured to do it. Okay, so what's the downside to that? Okay, oh, you're invading my privacy. What privacy? What's going to be invaded? What are we going to find out? Are we going to publish these results? What's in your blood in the newspapers?
Well, it does. Well, that does.
What is the damage side? The benefit side is 100% removal of these things that we claim are so terrible, and we want them to be gone, and we don't want to pressure high school kids and et cetera down the line with all of this BS. Okay, but now we've got the 100% fix, and we're going to hide behind. We are going to hide behind, this is an invasion of my privacy in the most abstract and ambiguous ways you could ever express privacy.
You know, that is a good point, because basically it's part of the job. Meaning, if you got a new job next week, wherever, and they said, oh, you need to go in and get a drug test and they're going to take some blood work. You know what you'd say? Oh, sure, no problem.
Yeah.
Right? But in the NFL, you know.
On my job right now, they could come in and ask anybody in the office, got to do a piss test today. Got to do it.
Yeah, this is blood work, though. But I think the same thing with blood work. And I do recall that Rod Woodson, who we all know and think was clean, right? He had to take a drug test and do his piss test, like you said, because they do that, and that is random, or at least back when he was playing. But then it was like 2 days later, he got picked again, and he got all pissed off and didn't want to go because he was like, this is crap.
Yeah.
That might have been a setup.
Maybe. I mean,
do it. If you're going to hit a guy and then hit a guy 2 days later, right? It's like you hit him, and then he figures, okay, I'm good. So I'm good
for a while. Yeah.
You figure that's what he's doing, right? So you're doing this double reverse psych out thing to him.
Maybe.
Right? Yeah. That's bullshit.
But you're right. I mean, if they did allow that and it really cleaned it up, then why don't they do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
The players are really concerned. If the players' union is truly there to protect the players' safety and long term,
no, they're there. No, they're there to represent the players.
They're supposed to, but they're protecting the players' interests. Okay. So what if the players' interest is, hey, make sure I can take these performance enhancing drugs, then why is the NFL obligated to fight the players themselves and stop them from harming themselves?
It's a league image. I mean, it is a league image. I mean, it becomes a league image problem for them.
Why is it not the player image problem? If it's the players' union that's stopping the 100% proof positive test. We can stop it 100%. Why? And they're blocking it from happening. Why isn't their image down?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the NFL truly does want to stop the use of PEDs? Or do you think they're interested in really taking a hard look at how much PED use there is in the league currently?
Well, if there's a 100% test and they're not doing it, then somebody, I don't know which one, somebody doesn't want it done.
I think both sides don't want it done.
And I don't know why. It doesn't make sense.
It's a truly – when things don't make sense, it's hypocrisy then. People are arguing things for the sake of appearances when in fact they want – they want, in reality, the exact opposite of what they argue for.
Here's the thing. You said that the players' union is – they don't want to do it because they're protecting the players. But you know what? They need to protect the clean players. Like I just said, if I'm player 53 and I'm clean, protect me. Protect me and get the guy that's number 52 in front of me, or if I'm 54 and 53 in front of me, I'm not making the team. Get 53 out of here because he's on PEDs. You know, get him tested, get him out of here, and let me, the clean guy, protect me, the clean guy, and let me on the team.
Totally agree. All right.
Anyway, we should probably
let's move on. So we've been talking about who we're going to cheer for in the Super Bowl, right? And as Steeler fans, we are going to cheer for the 49ers. But did you know that both Ryan Clark and Lamar Woodley have come out and said that they're going to cheer for the Ravens? They want to see Ray Lewis win one the last time because they have a lot of respect for him as a player, and they want to see Ray Lewis win a Super Bowl before he retires, go out Jerome Bettis style. Do you guys have a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with it because they're players, and players don't think the same way as fans do, and especially when you're friends with guys, and I assume they're friends with Ray Lewis or respect him for in whatever way. So I can understand that. I actually heard Bill Cowher say that he's kind of – that if even if he were coaching today, he'd be pulling for the Ravens because they were in his division. And he knows those guys and kind of – you know, he knows John Harbaugh and would like to see him win. So, I mean, as a fan, that's really hard to swallow. But if you're in it and you're playing against these guys and it's – and it, you know, it's a rival on the field, but then you're respect for him after the game, I mean – I'm not there, so it doesn't bother me. It would bother me more if I hear a Steeler fan say that they're pulling for the Ravens. That it just doesn't make sense to me.
Joe, what do you think? Does it bother you?
Doesn't political correctness just make you sick to your stomach? You know, it's like, oh, I'm a bigger guy because – you know, I'm going to – what is this crap? There was somebody – I can't remember. It was a player from the 70s, and this is why football had its golden age in the 1970s.
Wait. What do you mean? Wait. When you say political correctness, what –
it's like it's the right thing to say. I want to cheer for Ray because he's a great guy. He's a great player. And look, there was a guy who I might have been – oh, it was Dick Butkus, the Dick Butkus story. And it wasn't – I didn't see it. I read it. Dick Butkus talked about how players, you know, they hug each other and they're, you know, they're buddy-buddy after the game and all that. And Butkus said, I just don't get it, man. When I played football, the other team was the enemy. That was the entirety of their existence. I am here to do one thing, put a hurting on your ass. That was Dick Butkus. And, you know, guys, that's how guys played in those days. That's how they felt in those days. The other team was, in fact, the enemy. And we were on the field to do one thing, put a hurting on you and whip your ass and go home with a win. That was our goal.
But you're saying we weren't all cashing.
And we weren't a bunch of millionaires cashing our gigantic checks. And we're all going to go out to our one more serious foreign car than the other with even more rent paint than the guy next to me. They were guys that played football because they loved it. They played it with a passion, and they were the team. The biggest fans of Dick Butkus's Chicago Bears were the Chicago Bears, not the guys in the stadium, not us, but the players themselves. That crap all changed when this free agency shit came into the NFL. And now you got a whole bunch of – you got 53 independent corporations out there all working on their next deal. and it really doesn't matter which franchise I make my next deal with. I don't care. I'll wear their colors as well as I'll wear these colors, kiss these fans goodbye, and go over there. The game lost something with that. And all this crap about a guy who's supposedly an intense player like Lamar Woodley to say a thing like, I hope my arch rival, okay, who's been putting on a hurting on my team for 15 years, okay, with a reputation like this guy has, for him to say, oh, I like to see him go out because he's a, come on, man.
I guess, I don't know. I think that, I mean, I'm sure that there are still and have always been, you know, intense players, the likes of Dick Butkus, who take the game that seriously. But I think that it's just, you know, the nature of sport that, you know, that there is a camaraderie that comes from competing, from competing and from competition. You know, that's where this comes from. I mean, it doesn't, you know, okay, so I'm going to make a stupid analogy here that you just have to go with me on it, right? It's like, you know, I'm a big MMA UFC fan, right? And you get these fights where, you know, these two guys, they clearly hate each other. They clearly want to knock each other out. And then they fight. And at the end of the fight, you know, they don't, you know, it's not like they're still, you know, at each other. They still want to fight, right? When the bell rings at the end and the competition is over, you know, they can have respect for one another and the competition that they just had. And it's, you know, and I think that, you know, that kind of, that I think is what's happening here with Ryan Clark and Lamar Woodley. It's not that when they, you know, when they meet on Sunday, right, there's no love lost between the Ravens and the Steelers, and there never has been. But to have respect for that person and the, you know, the play that they do, you know, when you're not competing, I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, I know some Steeler fans think it's stupid, but I don't know. I guess I don't really. It doesn't bother me.
Joe, you want to see WWE. You want to see when a team loses that they come back in the ring with a chair, smash it over the coach's head.
That's what happens. Like Lamar Woodley comes running out of the tunnel at, you know, in the beginning of the third quarter. And Jim Ross, oh, my God, he's got a chair. That's Lamar Woodley's music.
Joe, you are right in that when free agency started, that ended. I mean, because these guys, like you said, like the Steelers and the Raiders of the 70s, I mean, they played against each other year in and year out and didn't like each other.
I guarantee you that Joe Green is a gentleman and a nice guy and all that. But if you ask Joe Green, does he like Otis Sistrunk? He's going to say, hell no, I'd take that guy on today. Okay. And there were a couple of old guys. I remember watching something. I don't remember what it was. Two old guys. They were all ex-football players. Still hated each other. Got in a fight. Maybe it was Joe Capp and another. I can't remember who it was. But those guys who played in the 60s and especially in the 70s, they played football, because they were good at the game. But they played football because that's what they really wanted to do more than anything else in life, not because they could make so much money at it.
You're telling me that there are players that play today because they can make they don't love the game, but they just play it because they can make a lot of money.
They play it a different way.
No, I don't
than they
see
played it then. No, absolutely.
The amount Randy of, Moss, Tony, Randy Moss.
No, not Randy Moss. No, I mean, look, the amount of work, the amount of effort that it takes to play at a level like the NFL, you know, means that you have to do things that, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's, you know, we have 9-to-5 jobs or whatever, and you have to put in the time. The NFL is not a 9-to-5 job.
No, it's tough.
And I get that part. The level of competition to make the team, your physical specimen, your 24-hour dedication to the sport is beyond. There's nobody in that play that train the way these guys train.
I'm 365 mental, all year long.
What's that?
All year long, though, too.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Didn't do that in the 70s. Don't misunderstand my argument. I'm just saying that it was just a different.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I just think it was a different mindset. It was like, I'm part of a team. They're not part of a team anymore. They're just not.
The difference is, it's not that they don't love the game as much as they did in the 70s because they played because they loved it and they didn't have the money. The difference is that because of the free agency, all these guys are really in the same boat. They're not on the same – your camaraderie is not really with only your teammates. It's with the whole league. You're in the same league. And I'm a free agent next year, and I might go to this team. Oh, how did you handle it when you were in this situation? You talked to some guy on another team.
Right.
And you guys are on the same boat. And now you're in this players' union, and contracts come up, and it's a big thing. And now you're all on the same team, all 32 players, 32 teams, players on the same team against who? Against the owners. And so they had to deal with that over the last several years too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that there is an aspect of it that comes into play with the whole with the free agency thing, but I don't know. It just seems to me that it's the camaraderie of sport to me is what plays a bigger factor in this whole thing. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to think that that they would take it. You know that you know this person, Ray Lewis, right? You interact with this person. You interact with these people, right? It's easy for us as fans who never meet Joe Flacco to say all the crazy things that we say about him. But if you knew Joe Flacco, the person, if you talked, if you had conversations with him, you couldn't say the things that we say about him.
Joe, if you saw Joe Flacco in a coffee shop by himself, I know you would not go up to him and say, "Hey, you know, I think you play like Forrest Gump." I think that you might have a conversation with him and end up having a lot of respect for a guy who, made it that far in this profession.
Right. Look, there's no question. If you are a starting quarterback or even a backup quarterback in the NFL, you are something else. Joe Flacco, I make fun of him. He's a big guy. He's a large person and, obviously, you have to have a lot of talent.
Just having fun, though, as fans.
Right.
I have a good time with it. But I guess my point is that I personally took it as an offense. I take it as a personal offense from the NFL to me and from the players' union to me and this whole collective bargaining crap that I am a more rabid Pittsburgh Steeler fan than any Pittsburgh Steelers fan since probably the 19 or Pittsburgh Steelers player since the 1980s, probably.
I mean, that's true of all the players and all the fans. I mean, players will just look at fans and say, they're crazy.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Get a life.
Right.
I'm basically
right.
I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
But in the 70s, the players were with us. We were one in the – Joe Green – was as big a Steeler fan as, any of Lambert's lunatics or Franco's Italian Army or any of those guys. Okay, you have all these crazy,
it's changed, insane right.
But fans. What I don't get is the correlation between I get that they don't feel the same way about the Ravens as we do, right? But I don't think that means that they don't like the Steelers as much as we do, right? I don't get that correlation. I understand.
It's a job. It's like you work for a company, right?
No, but I don't think that means that I have any less respect for that or any less respect for that organization. I think the difference is I think that they are the same when it comes to us. I think they love the Steelers, they love the organization, right? And look, maybe there are players on teams that don't like the organization or don't feel like the organization is going in the right direction, that kind of thing. But as far as like someone like Ryan Clark, does he love the Steelers as much as you or I love the Steelers, right? I think he does, or at least it's on the same level. But, his feelings towards the Ravens, why is that different? Is it different for the same reason that, is it different because he doesn't like the Steelers as much? I don't draw that correlation. I just think that he knows Ray Lewis. He knows those players. And that's why he feels this is not like he's saying, I just hope the Ravens win for no reason, right? He's saying, I hope this guy, Ray Lewis, wins a Super Bowl before he retires this year, right? That's their reason. It's not just that they're going to cheer for the Ravens just for the hell of it. He has a personal relationship with Ray Lewis. Whereas I can hate Ray Lewis because I've never met the guy before. I don't have to think he's a great guy. I don't have to know him as a person. I can just say that guy plays for the Ravens, and so I hate him, and I hope he loses.
That sums it up.
Yeah.
Well, but I think a lot of sport is that, except when you get to the pros. I mean, not really. Do you think Do you think that Florida State loses to the Gators, that they're wishing the Gators well? I don't think so. When Ohio State beats Michigan, are the Michigan players going, gee, I really hope Ohio State goes all the way now because, you know, we're in the same conference here, and, boy, I'd like to see them do well. I don't think anybody does that except in the pros. I don't think even down to high school, if you go to high school games, if your school team is eliminated by the school across town, well, you know, you're already a rival, so you're not going to go, hey, man, I sure hope I hope the unfriendly rivals from across town, I hope they take the whole state.
Right, but it's like – it's
only in the pros.
I don't know. It's like it's – well, I don't know.
I may be burning my dang NFL team. I'm burning my NFL jerseys.
Actually, in college
frauds.
College is weird because actually some – like the SEC, if you're a fan of an SEC team, sometimes they end up rooting for the SEC to win the whole thing because they have that SEC pride.
Yeah, there's that camaraderie among like our conference is the best.
Yeah, we have the best conference.
Yeah, which they do, and they destroyed – Notre Dame, like I said they would, called it. Just want to say,
called
I mean, that was
I think you're the only one.
I know, right? Yeah, I really went on a limb and said, yeah, oh, I think Alabama, who's won two of the last three championships, really could win this one. okay, anyway. All right, let's move on. Okay, I want to talk about something we talked about last year. You know, the ever-changing world of the NFL continues to creep up on the Steelers as we cling to a style of football that everyone keeps telling us, you know, isn't a part of the NFL anymore. And it's a quarterback league, and it's a quarterback driven league, and it's a passing league, and it's all about, you know, do you have a great quarterback? And that's what it takes to win a championship. And it's the Aaron Rodgers of the world that wins championships, and the Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's. And I think we as Steeler fans say, no. It definitely takes a good quarterback to win a Super Bowl, but it's defense that wins championships. Now that we've had 2 years in a row now, where last year the Giants won the Super Bowl behind a stellar pass defense, and then of course Eli Manning, and he played well, and of course you have to have a good quarterback to go with it, but good defense beat bad defense in New England. And now this year you've got the 49ers, the best defense in football, going up against the Ravens, who, you know, that's a story defense that's, you know, obviously playing worse this year than they normally do. But again, with this deer antler spray, they're playing a little better in the playoffs. But do you guys feel like defense still wins championships in the modern NFL? Joe?
The teams that have a defense, generally do well. I mean, all of the high flying offenses were eliminated early in the playoffs this year.
A lot of them were one and done.
Some of them didn't get in. I mean, you know, Breeze was nowhere. You know, Breeze didn't get in. And that, you know, part of that is the problems that they had, you know, earlier in the year. But the Packers didn't go anywhere. The Patriots are eliminated. And didn't play well. The Broncos were eliminated and also did not play well.
Falcons should have been one and done, but they.
Well, I don't have, but I'm not putting what's his face there as an elite quarterback or a high flying offense.
Yeah.
So the big offenses, the big name offenses of the league, all got eliminated. I mean, think about the NFC. The future of the NFC is, and these guys all played each other already. So we saw the beginning of this year, and I think we're going to see it for probably 5 years or so. These three guys are going to dominate the postseason in the NFC, that being the Seahawks with this Wilson guy, mm-hmm. and RG and the Redskins.
If he comes back from that ACL.
And this guy Kaepernick from San Francisco. I mean, these guys are probably going to dominate that league.
Yeah,
I don't classify those as high flying offenses, and at least Seattle and San Francisco have good defenses,
great defenses even.
I would be remiss if I didn't throw this in here. I mean, really, if I'm an odds maker in the NFL, before I would put money down on a game, I'd want to know what officiating crew would be calling that game. Because they are as big a factor in who's going to win the game.
I had a feeling he was
going
to win there.
In the way it's called. I'm not saying this tongue-in-cheek, guys. I'm trying to be serious here, and you guys are cackling all over.
You should bet the over-under on number of flags based on the officiating crew.
Yeah, in case you're wondering, this is the Steeler Country podcast, and you can tell because we're talking about officiating.
I just got to get it in there a little bit.
I understand.
So, you know, defense wins championships, or is it the quarterbacks that win championships, or does it really just depend on the officiating that you get? Because the officiating has a lot to do with it. Ask the Denver secondary.
Ouch.
Well, this might be a good segue then. Well, I'll ask you a question after I go through this, because you just looked at that based on this past year. I'm going to look at it since Super Bowl 40. And I'm going to call that season two. It's season 2005, so I'll call it 2005. I don't go by the date the Super Bowl was played. So anyway, that was the Steelers-Seahawks. That was really – the Steelers were more of a defensive team than an offensive team that year. You agree with me there? So defense won that championship. The next year was the Colts, though, and that was Peyton Manning. He won that. That was an offensive win, I would say. The next year was the Giants beating the Patriots in that first battle. Yep. And that was a defensive line, basically defensive win, even though Eli had a nice drive at the end.
Yep. All right, so one third of the way through, we are two defense to one offense. So
yes.
Just keep
okay. Track. Yep. You can keep score. Okay. And then the next year was the Steelers and the Cardinals.
Yep.
And you definitely have to say that was the Steeler defense.
Yep.
Even though we talked recently how the offense came back to win the game, but it's still the defense.
But that was a defense driven team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next year was the Saints and the Colts, which are basically, if I remember right, two offenses, right? And
two offenses. Yeah, that was a rare Super Bowl. Yeah.
And then the next year was the Packers and the Steelers, and that was all Aaron Rodgers won that Super Bowl. Basically, if he got hurt in the first quarter, the Steelers would have won that game easily.
So now six games through, we are tied 3-3.
3-3. Okay, and then last year was the Patriots and the Giants again, and his score was only 21-17, so you got to say that was defensive on the Giants once again. So I would say, yeah, defense still can win championships. It's kind of hit and miss. But maybe the reason it's 4-3 and it's almost 50-50 here, Joe, maybe it's because of the refs. Maybe you got to go through and see which refs.
True, which refs. It's true.
Well, we already know about kicked calls in Super Bowl.
Or you got to find out why good defensive teams didn't make it that year, because, you know, maybe they got spooked by the officiating.
Too many pass interference calls.
Well,
so anyway, this year. So look, the Niners,
you got to examine when Tux may or may not have been.
Yeah,
called.
That's true. The Raiders were a good defense that year.
I'd say if the Niners win this year, I mean that's defensive.
Either team wins this year.
This is going to be a defensive. You can't call this offense on either side, really. Yeah,
it's not like
you're not going to.
Unless it's Flacco. I mean, you know, the Flacco thing. I mean, I don't want to talk about it.
If he throws like four touchdown passes for like,
I'm going to throw up. Stop. Yards, don't.
I know you're going to throw up, but I mean, could he have like the best playoff run? Like, could he beat Joe Montana?
All right, look, here's the thing about Flacco. Okay, look,
how you doing this to me?
Let's just put this into perspective right now. You earlier in this podcast, you went through this, oh, he's thrown eight touchdowns and no interceptions and
right.
Blah, blah. So, but statistically.
He's due, man. Okay? He's, yeah.
Statistically, we're looking at Joe Montana in the postseason. Statistically, that's how we picture Joe Montana. Whether he ever had those stats or not, I don't even know. If Montana ever was perfect in the postseason, never threw an interception.
I think he's never thrown an interception in the Super Bowl. Okay, he's been in four Super Bowls, never thrown an interception.
Right now we're talking about the playoff run, not the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So based on this, we are looking not at Joe Flacco or we're looking at Joe Cool here, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at.
That's the problem.
You would think, based on that, you would think when you watch this guy, under center, this would be a team that was captained by a quarterback better described as general, right? Who's just got command of the field, command of his players, placing the ball exactly where it's got to be time and again, right? That's not what we see.
We see
a guy throwing a two-yard dump pass, 4th and 29 with the game on the line.
We see a box of chocolate.
We see a guy fumbling a snap in a playoff game. We see a guy taking off running with 40 seconds on the clock, 7 yards to go, no timeouts, gets tackled in the field, doesn't even try for the sideline. Okay? This is who we see. This is not Joe Cool under center. This is Joe Flackup Forrest Gump. Okay? You cannot take stats and mask over that. Okay? You are not watching Joe Cool. I don't care what the stats say.
I hope you do run into him in a coffee shop one day.
Run
would be the operative word, because if you figured out who I was, I would have to be running.
I don't want to go back into the Flacco thing.
You do or don't?
I do not. I do not want to go back into the Flacco.
I want to change gears here in a little bit.
Go ahead and change gears because I have.
Well, this is a topic that I know you guys don't want to talk about, but I just want to give my opinion.
Sure.
It's the Pro Bowl. Do you think of the Pro Bowl?
Oh boy, I don't know. Was it on this year?
Okay, I'll just lead off. I am a big Pro Bowl fan. I like the Pro Bowl. Yes, it was on. They were in Hawaii.
There he is. He's on the. I know everyone out there was wondering who.
Who watched the Pro Bowl?
Who's the guy who watches the Pro Bowl?
There's a lot of people that watch. There are more people that watch the Pro Bowl than I think the World Series is what they said, didn't they?
What?
Something like that. Yeah, they get better ratings than the best basketball games. And stuff.
Actually, Joe, what's more lame, watching the Pro Bowl or watching the draft?
That's a good question.
I think the Pro Bowl because it has less meaning.
Like if you watch day 3 of the draft or day 4 of the draft, right, which is like rounds 4 through 7.
Some of those guys are going to make it in the NFL. Right. So you're going to see something happen. In the Pro Bowl, there ain't nothing happening.
All right, I'm going to tell you why happen. I like the Pro Bowl, and you should too. Okay, first of all, it's in Hawaii, okay? So that's cool. You get a lot of nice scenes. It's an entertainment thing. I don't care about the game. I'm not one of these guys who said, oh, my gosh, the play is just so terrible, and they're not even trying. You know, it's not even competition. I don't care about that. You know what I like? I like that these are the stars in the league. I love the NFL. When I was a kid, I got my Slurpee cups and I got a player on the cup and I collected all these cups and I loved them because I love the NFL. So I love seeing all the stars together. They're playing with each other. I'm seeing, you know, Peyton Manning throw a pass to Hines Ward or someone like that, you know, not this year, but, you know, you're seeing stars play with stars and I just think it's cool. And then they have a lot of interviews on the sidelines. Guy comes out. You know, he just caught a touchdown pass, and they interview him immediately. I mean, it's all goofy stuff, but it's just fun. You get to see the stars, and it's entertaining for 3.5 hours. And I don't know, I like it. And the players say they like it because, like, a guy like Andrew Luck can hang out with Peyton Manning and take a lot from him, you know, as a rookie. And so, you know, because they never practice together. They
right.
never get to do things
right.
together. On different teams. So I don't know, man. I think it's entertaining. I like the I even like the old quarterback challenge, and I'll tell you this too. While I'm on my little soapbox.
I think
here.
The quarterback challenge is better than the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I mean that was fun too. But you know what's happening this Saturday? Is the Beach Bowl, the Celebrity Beach Bowl, where you have older players play on the beach against with some movie stars and TV stars.
Did you
and
know that they
that's
they
goofy
used,
too and that's fun.
They used to do that with regular players. Like real players.
Yeah, and a guy from New England.
Yeah, the guy blew his knee out.
Yeah, and they didn't have ambulance service in the area, and he was in real bad shape.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever came back from that. Or
yeah.
Well, do you know why they don't put the players on the Slurpee cups anymore?
No.
Well, because they, you know, like I used to have cups, right? I did the same thing, right? I had a Slurpee cup. I had Ron Yeary, the Minnesota Viking, great. I think he was an offensive lineman, part of the Purple People Eaters. I think. Well, that was the defense. But anyway, they don't put him on there anymore because by the time the guy, you know, the guy at 7-Eleven, you know, the cups are big, so it takes a while to fill the big 64-ounce cup. So by the time the cup is full and they hand you the Slurpee, right, and it's got your favorite player on the cup, the guys change teams
twice.
They change teams.
Hey, that doesn't stop them from selling those NFL jerseys for over $100.
I know.
Yeah,
they
should be
selling a Slurpee cup.
Here's the thing. When I buy a Steeler jersey, I don't want a name on the back of it because then it's just, you know,
Right. But, it's just a jersey with a number.
Yeah.
Who was this guy? Well,
the best investment you can make is a college jersey because they don't put the names on the back.
I do have.
Like, yeah, I cheer for number two. Sure.
I have a Steeler 26 that I was always going to get the name on later, and I never did. So.
See, there you go. Now you're just a really big Will Allen fan.
I went from Rob Woodson to Deshae Townsend to is Will Allen 26 now?
Yeah, Will Allen's 26.
There you go.
Isn't it? Yeah, he is. Now you're going to make me. I'm going to Google it and see. All right. Here's what I want to talk about. The NFC has won the last three Super Bowls. Now, when I was a kid, the NFC won like 14. In fact, you know, the year I was born, 1985, the 49ers won the Super Bowl. And it wasn't until 1998 when the Denver Broncos broke that streak.
That was crazy sick.
Yeah, that was crazy.
The Bills did
really
not.
Really, the Bills were to blame for that, right? I mean, come on. The Bills
really,
and Denver.
Super Bowl talk, we really should address that because that was like the darkest age of football for me was the four consecutive years that the Bills won the AFC Championship. Once in Pittsburgh, Bill Cowher's, I think, his first year.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the championship.
It was, yeah, that was
we were the number one.
Okay, you're right.
We were one and done that year.
They never won the championship in Pittsburgh.
No,
the Bills did. Okay, just seemed like that because we were the number one seed, and then bam, we were one and done. And they came in and beat us, and they went on to lose another Super Bowl 4 years in a row, the same team. So think about it. From the time that whoever it was that went to the Super Bowl. Before the Bills and then the San Diego Chargers who, you know, basically brought in the Renaissance time and ended the dark ages of the Bills' reign. It was a 6 year period because you had Bills for four, but then it was a year since the last team and then a year till the San Diego took it away. What a horrible time. The same team from the AFC 4 years in a row. And lost every one.
They were a good team. They just couldn't get it done in the Super Bowl.
Lost every one of them.
Could you name the four teams that they beat in the AFC Championship game? You guys want to give that a go?
Let's see. 92 was the first year.
One of them must have been the Oilers, right?
No, 1990 was the first year.
I don't know. It was the Houston Oilers. They beat the Houston Oilers in a playoff game. Biggest comeback in.
No, that was a wild card game.
But that wasn't the championship game, though. No,
that was a wild game.
Okay, 90. I'm gonna say, 90.
Someone listening to this podcast is screaming.
Okay, I'm gonna say 93 was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs. That was Joe Montana. Yes.
Okay.
Ding.
Got one.
Got it.
Was one of them the Bengals?
I remember 1992. I remember watching the 1992 game. That might have been the first football game I ever watched.
Well, 92, they beat us, and then they were in the championship game. That may have been – or was it the Dolphins?
That was the Dolphins, yeah. Ding! Wow.
And they shut them out, I believe.
I think it was a shutout, yeah.
And that was what, 90 – that was the 92. 92. So we got 92 and 93, and now we need 90 and 91. I'm going to think, were the Oilers ever in the championship game with them?
I thought Oilers-Bengals, maybe.
Nope. It was Broncos and Raiders.
The Raiders.
Oh, I don't remember. Who was the quarterback of the Raiders then? Was that
They won 1990 Raiders?
Was that Bo Jackson? Was he on the team back then?
That was probably a Bo Jackson year, yeah.
And did they lose like 48 to – they got blown out too or something in the – that game, I think.
They beat them 51-3, the Raiders.
In the championship game.
Jay Schroeder was the
quarterback.
Well, that's the
Jay Schroeder, yeah.
Wow.
Marcus Allen. So no Bo Jackson.
No Bo Jackson.
All right, anyway. So my point here is, clearly the NFC right now is a more top-heavy conference. Well, I don't know if it's top. It used to be top-heavy. It's a better conference than the AFC is right now.
It's so hard to say year in and year out. I mean, I don't know.
This year, I think there were more.
It's so jumbled every year.
But there were more contenders from the NFC than the AFC.
Yeah, I agree with that. But that doesn't mean next year is going to be the same thing. Actually, this year was kind of surprising that there weren't that many different teams in the playoffs. The way there have been at least, what, how many new teams every year for the past 10 years?
In like, the Super Bowl?
No, in the playoffs. You have 12 teams in the playoffs every year, and every year.
Yeah, and every year it's like half or new, yeah.
But not, except this year, there was less.
Right.
There was only like four new ones. Or
right.
Maybe five.
I mean, it's hard to look at like, to project like 5 years from now, right? Like what is the state of the conferences 5 years from now? I mean, if you look at the last couple years as far as quarterbacks, there hasn't been, a lot of good young quarterbacks coming into the league before this year. This year we had a tremendous amount of talent come in at quarterback. Four quarterbacks who are legit starters right away. That's like unheard of. But when you look back to Sam Bradford, is he ever going to be a great quarterback? Who was picked last year as the number one pick? Cam Newton.
Yeah. You got some guys that are kind of on the jury's still out on them.
Yeah.
Like those two guys, Stafford. I mean, he's thrown for a lot of yards, but can he win a Super Bowl?
I think Stafford's the real thing. Bradford, I agree with you. He really hasn't proved it yet, but I think Stafford, you can say he's a legitimately good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's just not on a team that's a championship caliber team. And I don't think they've got a championship caliber coaching staff on that team.
I think that's the problem.
Yeah, that is a big problem for them. All right, so you guys feel like the AFC and the NFC, I mean, to me, it kind of feels like they're going to even out pretty quickly, and we're going to go back to that,
It seems like it's shifted away from the AFC back over to the NFC.
With these young quarterbacks, I do agree with you. But, I mean, like in the AFC, I mean, who do you have there? I mean, with Denver, the AFC,
you have Manning and Brady kind of on their way down, right, or out. And so you've got Luck coming in, you got Tannehill coming in, and then you've got guys like Andy Dalton, who are, maybe.
Yeah.
And then, guys like Joe Flacco who are, coming into their own or whatnot. I guess it is going to be a more NFC league. I mean, I guess that brings me to my next point, which is how much do you guys believe in this whole read option thing, right? I mean, it seems to me that guys like Kaepernick and Wilson and RG3 are kind of living off of this read option. And I don't know if it's a flavor of the week thing or not. It seems like it is a flavor of the week. And it doesn't seem like this is going to be a long-term sustainable type of offense in the NFL. I mean, a lot of people talk about how guys like Kaepernick and Wilson and RG3 are going to revolutionize the sport revolutionize the position of quarterback. I just don't see it.
It's very interesting because number one, this is a new thing that happened this year. So what happens in the off season is all these defensive coordinators start to work on it.
Right.
And they're going to come up with a way to try to take it away. One of them is going to figure it out and then they're all going to start to copy it, early next season, most likely. And then that would shut it down and then offenses may shy away from it. However, if they're unable to shut it down and these guys continue, I mean, because you're basically have an extra player on the field because in the old days, the quarterback hands off, he's out of the play. You don't have to account for him. Now, if he can run the ball, then you have an extra blocker out there and you have to account for this runner.
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, it could be very interesting if those three guys continue to have success. And then you start drafting quarterbacks like that and start, they start training like that. These guys that can run and throw. And, you start, basically training them to be quarterbacks like that. It's going to change the league if they can't figure it out. But the other thing is these guys have to have the longevity. I mean, Kaepernick, all three of those guys, they can have great years for three seasons, but if they start getting pounded and pounded, they're not going to make it to seasons 4, 5, and 6, or at least be able to play at that same level. So you may not have these quarterbacks that last these 10 and 15 years, like we've been seeing. They may only last 5 and 7 years at that level.
It's definitely – I mean, it's definitely not going to go away. This style of offense is getting so much more popular now, to the point where a guy like Chip Kelly is so highly sought after because he runs, you know, a very similar style of offense at Oregon. And people want to see if he can bring that Oregon offense into the NFL. And I'm interested to see it too. The problem for me is that, you know, much like the Wildcat was a craze for, you know, a year and a half, it went away. Now, this is probably longer lasting than the Wildcat, because when you go into the Wildcat, you know, yes, there was the threat to throw, but no one's really throwing from the Wildcat with a lot of success. But the read option, you know, you can do the read option and then throw, right? So what I think it does best is it plays into the, you know, the idea that we're going to freeze out your best defensive end or your best middle linebacker, and get them to freeze for a second as they have to figure out whether or not we're going to run or pass. And then it also makes the defense be more disciplined. You know, we saw the Steelers have a ton of problems with this style of defense last year against Tebow. You know, he killed us with this. And we were scared to death that he was going to continue killing us this year when he came in with the Jets.
But thank God Rex Ryan is such a conceited, arrogant asshole and only let him have four plays, two of which were very successful.
Yeah, Joe, what do you think about the read option? I mean, is it, you know, do you see it like a well?
I think it's, you're going to hate me for this, but I can't resist. I think it's going to last longer because it's going to have a longer lasting life than it ordinarily would, because the NFL is going to be it's a very exciting, flashy style of football. And the NFL is going to try to legislate it into existence. And there's what I mean by that. The obvious, and I didn't read this, but a buddy of mine was telling me he read it. Defenses always can shut down a gimmick offense. They can always do it. If you have a thing that you do and it's all you can do well, a defense can shut it down because it's your few guys who execute your gimmick against 11 guys on a defense taking away what you rely on most, and they always win. So the obvious defense to this is or strategy. Is to say, okay, force the quarterback to run. Do that. Let's just play it that way. Force the quarterback to run, and then we will clobber the quarterback, and this thing is over. It has a short life. So I suspect that as soon as the defenses employ that strategy, and I expect they will, the NFL will step in with some kind of horse-ass bullshit rule that is subject to interpretation. It'll start throwing flags all over the damn place, so you can't stop this damn thing from happening. And so it'll be part of the league for longer than it should be, but it is another fad that will not last, precisely because the people executing it are going to get killed.
I do agree with you that I could see that they want to allow this to grow. And I've heard like Golic and other guys say that. And even John Madden said back in the day, oh, you can't run the option in the NFL because the quarterback would get killed. And that's what they need to do. That's how they need to stop this, is even if he hands off, you still got to hit him. Now, I could see that you're hitting a guy without the ball, then they start throwing flags. And that's just like you're saying, Joe, they'll legislate against you killing the quarterback, especially when he does have the ball.
What this defensive guy was talking about was you key on the running back.
Right. So you don't allow the ball.
You force the quarterback to keep the ball, and then you kill the quarterback.
Yeah. And so, Tony, you said that the Wildcat didn't last. I really think teams gave up on it. I think the Dolphins had a good thing going with the Wildcat, and they just let it go. And I really think that a guy like Tebow could run the Wildcat.
I think the Wildcat morphed into the read option, right? You know, the idea behind the Wildcat is that we're going to, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, we could throw to our quarterback or whatever. But, you know, teams figured out, No, you're not. You're not. No one's throwing out of the freaking Wildcat. Like, you're going to run.
Yeah, we just put eight in the box.
It's just a running play, right? The Wildcat is just a running play. But the read option is something different. I think that the popularity of it and this idea that it's going to change the game of football is a little bit overblown. I, like I said, I think defenses will figure this out. I don't think the read option is going to go away, though. I think that what will happen to the read option is that it will become like the run and shoot offense or like the West Coast offense, right? It will become a style of football that teams can implement. But this idea that if you that quarterbacks are going, you're either going to have a read option style quarterback or you're going to be a losing football team. I don't buy into that.
You're saying it's not going to be unstoppable. It's just going to be a style of offense.
It's not unstoppable. No, I don't think it's unstoppable. And I think as defenses get better, it just takes more discipline and it's going to take defenses to catch up a little bit. As far as the whole, like, you know, the NFL legislating it into existence, first of all, I don't think that they have to, because I think it's here to stay. It takes a certain style of personnel, right? The right quarterback.
That's what's interesting to me.
Four guys that can run it, and three out of the four will probably be hurt in the first 4 weeks of next season.
The problem with saying that Tebow can run this style of offense, though, is that he can't throw.
No, yeah. So, but I was saying Wildcat, though. Oh, yeah. You don't throw as much. But right. Look, this is the thing that's interesting. There's three or four guys that just came in and they're doing well. How many guys come in next year? How many guys come in the year after that? I mean, let's say in 4 years, do we have, 12 to 15 to 18 good quarterbacks that can run this? And a guy like Chip Kelly, is he going to draft three guys in the next 2 or 3 years? So he's got a backup quarterback. So when his starter gets hurt, he just fills in another quarterback like this and can do the same thing. Or really any team that's running it, get your backup that he can do the same thing. Right. So you don't miss a beat when he goes out.
And I think that's going to start. I think that certainly you're going to see. Well, you're already seeing it, right? I mean, the Chip Kelly hiring. There's an offense that you just go, okay, that's a college style of offense. That, why Chip Kelly is so highly sought after only makes sense in a world in which RG3 and Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick are having the kind of years that they're having. I think you're going to see the next 2 to 3 years, a lot of teams who are in the rebuilding phase trying to rebuild around that style of offense and guys like, guys like Kaepernick and Wilson and RG3, you're going to see more of an emphasis around finding guys like with their skill sets, which is not easy to find. It's not as though, this has been some, ignored, play style for so long, right? I mean, these guys are already highly sought after. So, but working them into a read option style of offense makes a big difference. So I'm interested to see what happens. I think defenses will figure it out. And like you guys said, the health of the quarterback is a huge concern. Just look at what happened to RG3. I mean, that guy blew out the most of his knee, two of the three ligaments in his knee are gone. So, you're telling me this guy's going to take a year to come back now. I know we just saw Peterson come back, but he's the exception, not the rule. So,
When RG3 got hurt in the playoff game, he was totally doing way too much. Like, he was rolling to the right and trying to get something done. I mean, the play wasn't there. When you're going to be that quarterback that's going to run, you really have to take what's given to you.
Yeah.
And then go down.
Yeah.
And live to play another play.
It's tough, man. The other thing is, like you said, do you have a backup that can come in and run the same style of offense, or do you have, a backup who runs a different style of offense? And then you have basically, two totally different offenses.
Yeah, if you're going to commit to that offense, you have to have these coaches now will have to get a backup to run it.
I don't know what you do. I mean, like with RG3, right? They don't run the read option when what's his face came in, right? So they, Cousins. So they had a different style of offense. It's it. I don't know. It's interesting to me.
I think that in college, there's a lot of quarterbacks that can run.
Well, that's the thing.
The problem is they can't throw like a professional quarterback.
Right.
But maybe, I mean, could it be that the throwing in the NFL doesn't have to be as up to par?
But it doesn't. Yeah, I mean, I think when the guys who are going to be most sought after are going to be the guys who can run that, who have proven that they can run the read option in college, but can also make all the throws in the NFL. You know, big arm guys who can run
could
the
be
read
a pocket passer too.
Yeah. Right. I mean, look, man,
the NFL has been after that since Randall Cunningham was going to revolutionize the position of quarterback.
Yeah.
And when was that? That was 20-something years ago, or maybe almost 30 years ago. It just hasn't happened. It's not like the NFL hasn't been looking. It's not like it hasn't been tried a dozen times. It doesn't ever work out.
Yeah. Back then, I was so high on it. I was like, you have to have a running quarterback in this league. Because Randall Cunningham would drop back to pass, 3rd and 10, excuse me, and no one would be open. And then he'd just easily run for a first down and just kill the defense. I mean, it's just so devastating to cover everybody and then give up a run like that. So I just thought that was the new way back in the early 90s. And it didn't really happen. And it was exciting when we had Cordell, for a few seasons there where he was doing well. And even when Cordell came in and he was a rookie and then he started and he was running for long touchdowns and even throwing touchdowns. I mean, that one year, didn't he have something like 20 touchdown passes and 10 runs or something like that?
Right.
Which was a great season.
Cordell Stewart, yeah, that is the perfect guy to go to with this because Cordell Stewart did not have a great career. But could he have had a great career if he ran the read option?
Maybe. I think he could.
His career certainly is totally different. If he's running the read option, I think.
I think that I think he confidence was a lot of the problem with his career too, when it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
So if you're running the read option and you're having a lot of success running the ball, I mean you're just going to gain confidence, and I think that's going to help you throwing it. But that back then when he was the star of the league in that one year, was it 97, I think. Every team wanted a player like that, right? But you're right. You couldn't find them. They weren't out there. But maybe there'll be more and more players like that. They get trained for this.
Yeah, certainly with the way college football is going right now, it's going to be easier to find that guy because they're running similar offenses. All right, let's move on to email. We only have one email that pertains to the Super Bowl, which is kind of the topic of the day. So we'll get to that one this week and then in our next podcast, we'll do more mailbag stuff, general Steelers stuff. We haven't really talked about the Steelers much at all in this podcast. And so let's finish it off by not talking about the Steelers again. This email comes in from Jacob. He writes in to say, the only way we can get through Super Bowl Sunday without throwing up is by Bane showing up to the Superdome and destroying the field, like in The Dark Knight Rises. Spoilers. Hate the rats and the idea of Flacco having a Super Bowl ring. It's almost as unbearable as the thought of that effing baby Harbaugh and San Fran leading the Niners to their 6th Super Bowl. I don't know which is worse. If the Rats win, we have to live through an offseason where the media raves about Flacco. If the Niners win, there'll be a portion of the offseason dedicated to who has the better franchise, Steelers or the 49ers. Either way, I'm sick to my stomach. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go throw up. Take care, gentlemen. Thank you, Jacob, for that email. And I think that pretty much sums up all Steeler fans' thoughts. Going into Super Sunday, we're in a lose-lose situation, and there is no good outcome. The only good outcome is for both teams to lose.
Scoreless tie.
We're going into the 9th overtime, and Goodell just calls the game.
I mean, I do feel the way Jacob does, but and that's why I said before the championships games, I said, you just got to pull for the Falcons. I mean, that was the only solution, but it didn't happen. But at this point, like I said earlier – it really was at that point. But I think you just got to root for the Niners. Let them get their 6. Sure, everyone will talk about it. They'll be 6-0 and we'll be 6-2, so they'll basically have a better record. But we could change that next year. We could change it the year after. When we get that 7th, man, we'll be the only one.
I think the Steelers are going
to win. Do you guys have any
– Can Super Bowl 50, which is 2 years away now or 3 years away, however long. I don't know math. What are we on, 47, 48?
This is 47.
Okay, so we have a couple years away. Can Super Bowl 50 be Steelers, 49ers for, you know, both have six. Who, you know, one team's going to get the, or when both teams have, who's going to get the seven, you know, first to seven. That would be pretty sweet.
That would be good.
That would be pretty sweet. That would be fun. They've never, and the Steelers and Niners have never met in the Super Bowl.
No, we should have met in 94. But we missed it because the Chargers.
Yep.
It would have, it would be a lot more fun if it was Steelers going for 10 at Super Bowl 50. Which I think is still mathematically possible.
Wait, wouldn't Super Bowl 29 have been for, we were both tied at that point, right? At that point, the Niners had five and we had five.
No, we had four and they had four.
Four and four.
It was four and four.
Yeah,
right.
Because Young got the fifth one.
Right, he got the fifth one, right.
That 94 is when they got, that was the last time they were in the Super Bowl, 94.
Yep. Yeah. 1994.
I don't think that if we win the next three, well, if we win 48 and 49, that's going to give us eight.
Oh, eight. It's so 50. We'd be going for 50 and nine. Wow, we screwed it up this year. See?
And a three-peat.
We're not winning the next two Super Bowls. That's what I'm saying.
I think we're calling for a three-peat.
Are you guys going to call for a three-peat again? Is that we're doing that?
Three-peat cap. Well, that would make Super Bowl 50 the capper for that. It'd be the first three-peat.
There you go.
Oh, okay, I got you. Right. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, the Steelers have really good luck when you guys call for a three-peat, so I like it. I enjoy that.
We got them back to the Super Bowl.
Do we want to talk anything about the Steelers before we end this podcast? I don't want to start a big discussion. Is there anything little we can talk about? I don't know if anything happened. That's not really. All right, next time this podcast is on, we have a ton to talk about. The Steelers hire a new offensive line coach and maybe are going to change their offensive line scheme, which I said before was a zone blocking scheme. I was wrong. They were not running a zone blocking scheme this year, but they might next year. We'll talk about that on our next podcast. They hired a new special teams coach, which I'm sure Joe is either really excited about or not so much. And then we have to talk about all kinds of rumors coming out about which – veterans are going to get cut. Cowers weighing in on it. Some of the players are weighing in on it. We'll talk about all that next time on Steeler Country. If you want to leave feedback, steelercountry@gmail.com is the website. steelercountry.net is the website. And the Twitter is twitter.com/steelercountry. We'll see you next week. No, not next week. 2 weeks. Podcast over. Oh, I like it. I did a next time on Steeler Country. I should do that during the season too. And just,
you can just make shit
up. Make shit up. Just totally make shit up.
Next time on Steeler Country, the Steelers have blown out their next
game. Exactly. Did Ben Roethlisberger screw up when he threw that pass to Mike Wallace, or was that the right decision? What do you think about Mike Tomlin's play calling in the fourth quarter?
That is good. I like that. I think you should start him off, though, previously on the podcast. Yes.
Previously on Steeler Country.
That's right. There you go. I like how you ended it here. Podcast over. I think you should include that. Podcast.
You want me to leave that in? I was just. I like that. I was just letting you guys know. Podcast over. We can talk now. Yeah. But I'll leave that in. Podcast.
I think that's
over.
A good ending.
Well, you have all these little cues that you have, so you know where to edit and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I figured it was just that. I'm like, oh, podcast over. That must be a new edit point.
You were just telling us that we could talk. But that's like, wasn't there some show that ended like Sit Boo Boo Sit?
Oh, yeah, there was.
It was
Frasier and Cheers?
Yeah, maybe. I know there was one show. It was like whatever company did those
shows. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Cheers and Frasier, I think it was.
Yeah.
Might have been. I don't know. It was something in that era.
So that could be your little thing.
So
that was fun times.
I'm not really looking forward to watching the Super Bowl. I did buy squares.
Okay. Can I ask you guys something about the Super Bowl? And I already know your answer, but I'm kidding.
We didn't even do predictions for the Super Bowl.
You know? Oh, shit. All right. Editing you back in. 3, 2.
Here, can I say it? Podcast not over.
Amazing. Okay.
Maybe better. Podcast resume.
Yeah, podcast resume. all right. 3, 2. All right, before we go, we have to talk about the Super Bowl itself, the game being played on the field, and your predictions. I think we all know who we're going to predict to win. But, Mike, let's get a score prediction from you for the Super Bowl.
I guess I get to lead us off. So, as you say, this is what's definitely not going to happen. because it's my prediction.
yeah, exactly. So, oh, you're going to go detailed on this?
Not too detailed.
Don't jinx anything. Don't call for a Flacco pick six. That's my only
Flacco pick six now.
Don't call for a Flacco pick six.
I'm going to call for a Flacco pick early, though. And Flacco throwing three interceptions. I'm going to call for that.
Jinxing. And it's over.
And I think
it's gone.
And look, this is what's going to happen. The Niners are going to get a comfortable lead, and they're going to win easily. They're going to win like 34-17, and they could bring it up to 41 or 48, but they just won't because it's Harbaugh versus Harbaugh. He won't run up the score on his brother. So I'm going 34-17 Niners.
Wow, blowout. All right, Joe, are you predicting a blowout as well?
No, first I'm going to predict – my first prediction is very specific, and that is that I predict that I am going to have more negative comments during this game than any other game I've ever watched. That being said, the game itself, I'm going to predict that the Ravens win, not because they're the better team, but because they are, in fact, the luckier team.
What?
And I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you that – The Ravens are going to be down. They're going to be down. They're going to need a touchdown with little time to go on the clock. They'll be down by 4 points or maybe five, but not more than six. And on a pivotal fourth down, Forrest Gump will spike the ball when they were in a pretty good field position.
To stop the clock.
To stop the clock, right. And then the 49ers will take over, and something incredible will happen, like a snap will get away from Kaepernick or something, and the Ravens will recover it, and Flacco will get to throw a horseshit little pass and win the game.
You're not going
to
say Ray Lewis picks up the fumble and runs it in for the winning score
with his bionic arm?
Yeah.
No.
Good.
But it'll be some miraculous Flacco fluck up that he turns into a Forrest Gump moment that wins them the game, moves him into Tony's dismay, quarterback immortality.
Forrest Gump, how did he fall into so much money? Didn't he fall into money and have a big ship or something?
He made an investment. In a
like IBM or something.
No, he made an investment in a he liked fruit, you know, so he said, well, I'm going to invest in a apple orchard. So he invested in a company called Apple.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was stupid. I mean, that's cute, but whatever. All right, is it time for my prediction then? I can't believe this. First of all, I cannot get over the fact that you just predicted the Ravens to win the Super Bowl.
The Ravens in a lucky win.
Come on. Have a score.
Which I don't. No, oh yeah, score. Did you get a score? Did we get a score from you?
No. Let's see. So the Ravens are going to win. They're going to win 23-20. So they would be down by four going into that whole scenario. They would have somehow they'd have 16. How would they have 16?
I think you'd have 16. Three field goals.
Yeah, you could have 16.
That's true. Safety, two touchdowns.
All right. I'll go with that.
All right. So, my turn. Prediction time. All right. Well, first of all, okay. All right. You just predicted that the Ravens are going to win, which is like a double, triple, quadruple reverse jinx. First of all, you've never predicted against what you wanted to happen ever on this podcast, ever.
Yes, I have.
You have not.
I never pick against the Steelers.
The Steelers.
This is like, what did the guy say? I mean, I didn't make this up. I'm not going to take credit for this, but this is like picking a winner in the Iran-Iraq war.
Yeah, the Iran-Iraq war.
Was there ever a thing that you could care less about?
That was Bill Simmons. Tweet.
Well, that was just Bill Simmons.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that wasn't Bill Simmons. That was Justin Robert Young, a fellow podcaster. Okay.
Outstanding, and I'm happy to borrow it, and I'm glad Tony could credit it to the rightful owner.
Yeah,
but it's a great analogy.
So my prediction is the 49ers are going to win. I'm not going to reverse jinx this because not that I do reverse jinx when I predict the Steelers are going to lose. But the Ravens could win this game very easily. There's a lot of ways of – there's a lot of paths to victory for the Ravens, right? First of all, they have the team of destiny thing on their side, right?
Luck.
Whatever you want to call it. Look, everybody has their own opinion. Whatever you want to call that, they have that on their side. They've played really well in these playoffs. They have, they have a lot of playmakers on offense that can make it very difficult for San Francisco, to execute their defensive game plan, right? To be as physical as they want, because they have guys like Anquan Boldin who can be very physical over the middle. They have Ray Rice who's a great running back and they can use him out of the backfield. And they have Torrey Smith to go downfield, right? So, there's a lot of ways to victory for them. I mean, Flacco is clearly a more mature quarterback than Kaepernick. So Kaepernick might just go out there in these lights and just go, and just throw a bunch of picks. You've got Ed Reed out there who just seems to always be around the ball. When it's overthrown in situations like that. So there's a lot of ways I can see the Ravens winning this game, but I can't predict the Ravens to win, even in a reverse jinx. San Francisco wins this game. I don't know. San Francisco wins probably close, probably too close for comfort for Steeler fans. I'm going to say 28-21 San Francisco. I don't know what else to say. I mean, Kaepernick, the things for San Francisco that they need, number one, they need to get to Flacco. They need to pressure Flacco. They need to take Ray Rice out of it and then put pressure on Flacco and stop that offense. It's very easy to get Flacco and that offense out of rhythm. And when you do, it's hard for him to get back into rhythm. So that's gotta be a main point of emphasis for that defense. And then on offense, the 49ers just need to do what they do. They don't need to get cute. They don't need to bring out some different game plan. They just need to do what they do and run the ball and ride Kaepernick and get their playmakers involved. And that's it. I mean, it really comes down to their ability to stay true to what they do offensively and then, make sure that they limit Flacco's ability to get time and comfort, that to me is going to be the whole thing. I'm not interested in watching this game because, there's so many ways, it's so easy for this thing to get out of hand and if it's going to be a blowout, it's going to be the Ravens blowing out the 49ers, right?
No.
I can just see, Flacco throwing four touchdowns and having the great game. I can see that. I can see that happening. It makes sense to me.
Not against that defense.
That's what I don't like. Well,
but the Niner defense is going to make the difference.
I hope you're right. But yeah. I mean,
will the Ravens' first scoring opportunity come off a penalty?
Yes.
Go.
Yes.
Will it come off of a let's say, a Hail Mary-type-ish play that gets called for pass interference?
50-50 ball, yes. Pass interference.
Antoine,
are they
Antoine
in scoring
Boldin
position
gets pulled down.
Based on a completed play, some kind of play, or are they in scoring position based on a flag? Their first scoring position in the game.
A flag, but that won't be enough to win the game.
I'm just asking a question. I think that ought to be a Vegas odds thing.
What kind of prop bets we got going, Tony?
Unfortunately, this brings up another point that I forgot to talk about. Okay, unfortunately, I was not able to do my prop bet challenge this year for the second year in a row. I just started a new job. Time just was not on my side this year.
You get your priorities in order.
I know. But that actually brings me to another point, which is that in my new office, I work in like a cubicle type setting, right? There's a lot of people around. And a few of them are Ravens fans. In fact, the people that are across from me are Ravens fans. And they're Ravens fans. Second of all, they're obnoxious right now. It's all purple and
do they admit they're lucky to be in the Super Bowl?
No, of course not. Of course not. So they want me to play this Super Bowl square game, right? Where you buy these squares for a certain amount of money and then, You know, it's about how many points are scored at a certain point in the game.
Yeah, everyone knows the score game.
Yeah. Okay. I refuse to play. I refuse to play because I refuse to have any rooting interest in this game. Right? If I do play, and then it comes to the point where, you know, it's getting to the end of the third quarter and I need another touchdown scored, right? And Flacco has the ball at the San Francisco 40 and I got to cheer for Flacco to score a touchdown to win money? No. And what if he does score a touchdown there? Then in the back of my mind, I know, oh, I just won some money. Thanks, Flacco. No, I refuse. I refuse that. And I don't know if that makes me, and of course I got a lot of crap for this, for not playing at all. Because they're, you know, it's getting down in the week here and everybody's trying to get people to play. But I refuse. I refuse to play. I don't know if it makes me an a-hole or not. I don't care because as a Steelers fan, I'm boycotting. I'm protesting.
I like it, but I got to ask you this question. Have you ever had a Raven such as Ray Rice on your fantasy team?
You know what? I'm going to no comment that one.
And I'll answer for you or I'll defend for you because I'm sure your answer is yes because you play a lot of fantasy. But the difference here is it's the Super Bowl versus regular season.
That is true. That is true. And yeah, right. I mean, I have had, look, I drafted, yeah. I mean, the thing, okay, right. As a Steeler fan, right, should I draft Ray Lewis? Ray Rice?
No, you shouldn't. You should never cheer for Ray Rice to get a touchdown, ever.
See, but the problem there is that it's about, ever. I don't know, it's a weird, we should table this. We have a lot of podcasts we're going to do. I do want to talk to you guys at some point, and really about the fans, about what it is about fantasy football that makes it okay. As a Steeler fan, that I never really second-guessed myself that year when I picked Ray Rice first. It was like, oh, I have the fourth pick in the draft. Oh, look, Ray Rice is still available. Well, I should definitely take Ray Rice. Why wouldn't I take Ray Rice?
Doesn't make it okay.
But I don't – yeah, I don't –
You should second-guess yourself.
I don't know. It's a weird – fantasy football is weird. Anyway.
Well, that would be a podcast where I could take a vacation.
There you go.
Are you saying you don't play fantasy?
You know the answer to that question. I did play squares, though. The squares in my office, though, is being run by a Steeler fan and a Redskins fan. There's no Ravens anywhere around. There are Ravens in the office.
All right, the Ravens score shouldn't even be a factor in the squares.
And I have to tell
you, is that okay?
As a Steeler fan, this is true. As a Steeler fan, when I see a Ravens fan, when I discover a person is a Ravens fan, I know this is awful, but my opinion of them is diminished.
Ouch.
That's not good in the workplace. That's unfair.
Could you imagine? I just said my own internal personal opinion. Raven, it's like, how? Do you not have any self-respect at all? I mean, there's no redeeming quality to be a Ravens fan. There's no reason to be a Ravens fan. There's so many other good teams to choose.
I agree, and we live in Florida, right? I understand how Steeler fans end up in Florida, you know, because the Steelers are a storied franchise, right? To be a Raven fan, that either means one of two things. Number one, at one point, you were a Browns fan, okay? And that's a whole
okay. – I don't think many Browns fans followed the Ravens to Baltimore. They were pissed off when that happened.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. If you're a Browns fan – I guess if you were a Browns fan – you could have followed them to Baltimore, but then when the Browns happened, you had to go, okay, well.
I don't think anyone followed. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe little kids who just liked the players back then.
If you are a Browns fan, you are wishing that you liked a different sport.
Yeah.
Because you have had, really, since Jim Brown retired, like before I was born, you have had nothing,
And not only that, but how about this? I think it was like in 94 or 95. I mean, just imagine we did the podcast this whole season, went 8-8, very negative, very disappointing. And we're like, oh man. But at least we get to say, hey, next season, you know, things might change. But if you were, let's say you were doing a Browns podcast that year, granted there were no podcasts back in the 90s, but, and then next season it's like, well, we don't have a team anymore.
Should we do podcasts in the off season? We're gonna have like 5 years of off season here. We'll talk about like who the owners might be, and then who they might pick for a GM.
You go 2-14. We'll do that for 2 years. But you go 5-11, and you don't have a team anymore. That's a really bad season.
That's how it works, man. Yeah, that's. Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen again to who are they moving?
Jacksonville.
Now? Jacksonville.
Maybe.
Potentially.
No, Jacksonville needs to go. I don't know. They don't really have any real fans. Those fans need to be other fans. They don't need to be Jacksonville fans.
They need Tebow.
You think they need Tebow?
I think Jacksonville needs Tebow. I don't know if the Jacksonville Jaguars team needs Tebow, but the fan base does.
It's not official yet that they're moving, right? But it's close. I think it's
No. I mean, whenever they're ready to put a team in L.A.,
yeah,
someone's got to go.
I mean, they're building that stadium like they want to put one there. So.
And I don't see them expanding. That would just
screw up. No. You got 32. You can't go.
Teams. Yeah.
The only way I'd see them expanding from 32 is if they really did that London thing, but man, that would be dumb.
That's crazy. I don't know how you play games from London.
Yeah. All right. So I guess that's going to do it for Steeler Country again twice. This time, podcast over for reals.